The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Although consumer sentiment has been under pressure of late, overall consumption is expected to rise with the growing Malaysian population. But is that enough for the likes of Daibochi plastic and packaging industries? Today on The Breakfast Grill, I'm speaking to Company Managing Director Thomas Lim. Thomas, welcome to The Breakfast Grill.
Thank you very much, Han.
Your livelihood is very much dependent on consumer sentiment, which has been rather weak of late. You know, how do you try and mitigate such risks?
Well, in general, if you look at the our customers' base, are essentially in the we are serving mostly in the consumer food packaging. And to be honest with you, I look at the picture today. Now, I don't really look at just Malaysia. I look at it more on a regional base because, after all, we have a high percentage of business that's from overseas. So overall, in the sector itself, including Malaysia, food packaging is still a very, very interesting space. It is a recession-proof sector. And so we are more like leveraging on that benefit, and that would help Daibochi to grow.
You are in the plastic and packaging space. Give us a sense as to how competitive the landscape is.
In general, if you look at the world scene, Malaysia, Asia by far is a very clear, we are the most competitive region compared to the European and America. And so if you narrow it down to the Asia sector, I noticed that Malaysia and Indonesia are the two countries that stands out to be more competitive. And to some extent, you can see Daibochi, all the major players in Malaysia, including essentially Tommy Pak and Daibochi, both companies have high percentage of export. So if we have a high percentage of export, meaning as a whole, Malaysia flexible packaging is competitive. And also, in the past, we hardly able to sell into Indonesia and vice versa. So that kind of gave me the feel that in the region, Malaysia and Indonesia are both competitive in this flexible packaging space.
Now, I understand Indonesia is expected to contribute 7% to your sales in your financial year 2018. So if you're saying that it's already so competitive, you know, why are you trying to make headways into that market as opposed to, say, concentrating domestically?
Actually, this particular Indonesia opportunity, it is not really initiated by us. It was actually going through a regional tender exercise with the multinational. And obviously, we presented our offer, and it wasn't really an aggressive offer. And somehow, we were selected, which is rare. As I mentioned to you just now, it is rare to see a flexible packaging company able to export into Indonesia. My understanding is there were some anti-dumping protection in Indonesia, that which make their costs higher, and their labor also has some issue over there. So probably the multinational are looking at this is coming from Malaysia is a good alternative.
So what's the appeal there? Because you just cited labor issues and perhaps some protectionist measures as well. So again, what's the rationale for going into Indonesia?
Well, what is the rationale? Obviously, rationales are going to Indonesia. Indonesia is a huge market. Just to give you an example, Indonesia packaging, flexible packaging consumption per capita is about USD $13, which is pretty high. Another reference would be like Vietnam is only $9 and Myanmar is less than $1.
So what will be your edge in the Indonesian space? What's going to set Daibochi apart?
In terms of setting Daibochi apart, we do not need to be something outstanding. As long as we are able to fulfill the requirement of the multinational, which, for example, the customers that we're able to penetrate through is already our key customer in Malaysia and other part of ASEAN. Actually, look at the advantage is as long as you are able to produce a reliable, quality, competitive, then the opportunity will be given to us.
Now, switching from Indonesia, we got to look at Myanmar. You've got an interesting development over there. You, back in April, received approval for a JV. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, it is a very, very exciting development from our internally. We look at this investment. Yeah, maybe I'll give you a little bit of background in terms of how, why get us excited. Number one factor is actually the market is huge. Just now I mentioned the flexible packaging consumption per capita in Myanmar is like $1 versus somebody like Indonesia is 13. So you can see, and they have a big population base, so over 50 million population. And during my various visits into Myanmar, and obviously trying to get a feel of the degree of the level of flexible packaging offered in the country, and it is behind. I mean, we have so many good products that we can introduce to the local Myanmar food company that will bring value, bring cost savings, improve their shelf line presentation, and so on. So there are so many avenues in terms of the potential in the flexible packaging arena. So I don't look at Myanmar growth in terms of the country GDP. I look at the Myanmar growth in terms of the flexible packaging sector.
Growth potential aside, in markets like Indonesia and Myanmar, I mean, you got to face it, these are pretty unfamiliar territories to you, right? How do you overcome your unfamiliarity with those markets?
Finding a good partner is so important, Han. It took us a long time to finalize with this particular partner. And I remember the first few sessions, essentially, is nothing more than filling out your partner, see how comfortable we are with the partner. So we do have a good partner over there. They already have a small flexible packaging company. The whole approach is in line with us. And so that would take a lot of challenges that, if you have a good local partner over there, would take a lot of challenges that being a foreign suppliers need to face.
Now, in looking at your overseas operations, you also have Daibochi Australia, and I believe you also have a presence in New Zealand. Certainly, it's going to stand in stark contrast to what you're trying to pursue in Myanmar and Indonesia. But what kind of lessons, though, can you translate from your Australian operations and New Zealand operations into the ASEAN context?
I see the Australia sector versus versus Myanmar is quite a different experience. Going back to Myanmar, because we are most excited about Myanmar. Obviously, getting the locals to manage locals is still important, and that we will remain to be supporting them from operation side and technical side without the having a Malaysian, I mean the foreigners, to be really managing the workforce over there. So what is exciting, I've been telling all my decision maker in Malaysia, in Daibochi essentially, is I do not want to create a Daibochi 2. I do not want to copy what we have in Daibochi and chop it and translate it into Myanmar. So what advantage that our new Daibochi Myanmar have? They are very, very low cost operation. They are able to control the cost very, very well. First of all, their labor cost is extremely low, where their minimum wage is somewhere around Ringgit Malaysia 300. And more importantly, there are ample labor force available. I remember I visited a few occasions to the site. There are people really lining up outside to look for jobs. So if you look at the supply and demand of the workforce, unlike what we face in Malaysia, if there are overly supply of labor workforce, the employees over there need to be mindful of that. In other words, if they don't follow the instruction to improve the efficiency or improve productivities, if you don't want to do it, someone else is able to take your place. Mm. So that basic fundamental that basic fundamental make the executions in operations control so well.
So if I'm reading you correctly here, the major reason why you're so excited about your prospects in Myanmar is because of the cheaper labor. So does that place a cap on your growth plans in Malaysia? And in fact, I'll take it one step further. Does that entice you to move more of your production outside of Malaysia to Myanmar?
Currently, our focus, obviously, we are just about to get into the Myanmar. And after 6 months into managing the company, I think I will be able to give a clearer directions on that. But broadly speaking, based on what we have observed for the past encounter with our partner in Myanmar and understanding of Myanmar environment, obviously it will be easier for Daibuchi Malaysia to grow in Myanmar than in Malaysia. And however, Malaysia will be doing a lot more sophisticated customers, a lot more sophisticated products that will remain in Malaysia. So our growth will be more focused on more specialty, more high value, specific R&D requirement is all going to be here. And there are plenty of growth in that area, particularly to the Australian market and some of the key multinationals. So that will be our key focus of growth from the Malaysia side, where if you look at the broader, probably higher volume sector in the region, we would like to shape Daibuchi Myanmar to be able to handle that portion of the business.
Now, that's an interesting point. And in just a bit, we will explore more about how you plan to move your Malaysian operations up the value chain. I'm speaking to Thomas Lim, Managing Director of Daibuchi Plastic and Packaging Industries.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Thanks for staying with us on The Breakfast Grill. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me is Managing Director of Daibuchi Plastic and Packaging Industries. Now, Thomas, in the first half, we spoke about your expansion plans, you know, especially in Indonesia and Myanmar, which is a really exciting market for you. We understand that your CAPEX for the 2017 financial year is 11.5 million ringgit, and that's primarily for new machinery, right? What does that mean for your hiring plans then? What does that mean for your existing workforce?
Go to the second part of the question regarding the workforce. Lots of manufacturers in Malaysia in 2016 were faced with the labor shortage issue. And to be honest with you, that was a difficult period. To some extent, when there's foreign workers entry into Malaysia, there was restriction. The local recruitment becoming even more difficult. So back to my earlier statement about supply and demand. So it is very clear when you are managing a company where you have shortage of workers, particularly unable to get good local workforce to be here, it is difficult to drive productivities.
Real quick, Thomas, if I may, so where does this difficulty stem from? Is it, you know, due to the weaker ringgit that makes it less attractive to work in Malaysia, or is it a regulatory issue, or is it just due to lower demand for your goods? Where is the pain point?
It's probably the first two part of it, the regulatory requirements and the weaker ringgit. It is clear. Both are significant in nature. So fortunately, as I mentioned, that early this year, we have approval from the government to begin to bring in foreign workers. Understanding from this background, one of the key things that we want to leverage on our relationship with our new partner new company in Daibuchi Myanmar, just to give you a background, now we are obviously exploring bringing workers from Myanmar into Malaysia. So what is the difference between the two? I mean, all our foreign workers essentially from Nepal. If for those that we have gone through selecting employees, either through some media person or we personally go and interview the source, because they never work in the industry. And essentially, your selection criteria is very, very simple. Essentially, if you can speak about a little bit of Bahasa Malaysia or English, we'll grab you. And whether you are capable of follow the instructions to able to work in a flexible packaging industry cannot be tested out at all. So with our new connection, with the new subsidiaries in Myanmar, one big difference we can do is actually we can pre-select the workers, actually get them to be assigned to work at Dibuchi Myanmar for a short term. And if they are any good, we can cherry pick the good one to be transferred to Dibuchi Malaysia. So with that direction, we are hoping that the quality of the workforce that we can recruit back to Malaysia from the foreign worker source would be dramatically different than what we have practiced in the past.
Now, Thomas, while your supply for cheaper foreign labor, you know, can be more secure given that JV in Myanmar, yet the national agenda is to reduce our reliance on foreign labor. So what you're doing is basically in direct contrast to what the Malaysian government is trying to push. So how do you square that off? How do you balance out your company's interests versus the national interest?
I think that is very clear on this. Actually, what I described just now is not to increase the number of foreign workers. It's more of, I have available permits to get 150 workers, as opposed to select from Nepal, we're now trying to select from my Dibuchi, Myanmar, because that selection process and pre-assigned to the operations, that approach, I believe, will bring a lot of value. But in terms of against national interests, obviously, we are continuing looking at giving incentive to get workforce, local workforce into our operations. I'll give you one example that has been quite effective. You know, while Malaysia has minimum wage as well, and it is still difficult to recruit local workers. So what we do, probably you say this is a little bit desperate measure, but we believe that will work as well. We implemented it for 6 months, we get some good results. Essentially, we actually offer programs that we tell them you've got to be committed to be trained within 6 months to be a skilled worker. But you can come in with the day you come in, we give you a 6 month period for you to earn that skill or graduate from the programs. So, but we pay you that salary in day one. So that means they would have something like probably 400-500 ringgit extra, and that would make our recruitment a lot easier. And there's a precondition. After 6 months, if you couldn't pass the test, you'll be downgraded down to the normal operator level.
Yeah, but shouldn't you have more of an emphasis on, say, you know, moving Malaysia up the value chain as opposed to continually, you know, while being creative in how you compensate your foreign labor, right? Because earlier you spoke about having to spend on new machinery, you know, 11.5 million ringgit in capex. Yeah. Shouldn't that be helping you with the more complex operations that you intend to roll out in Malaysia versus, again, relying on foreign labor?
Han, you're right. Obviously, no. A lot of problems, there's no one, just one, a single solution. That you mentioned about bring out the value chain, we do look at this very much. The machineries that we buy right now, usually in the past, we are probably not focusing on the efficiency. That means to reduce the workforce. So the machine that for the recent year that we're buying and going forward as well, we'll be focusing on machine that we're able to bring more automation, the machine that would be either wider or higher speed operations, that would able to deliver more sales per workforce on a higher level. So that is always in our mindset in terms of reducing the workforce.
All right. Now, in pursuing efficiency, obviously, you've got to look at your bottom line. And so let's dive into some numbers here real quick. Your profit last year saw an 8% on-year decline, coming in at 24.5 million ringgit. What happened there?
Biggest factors, obviously, would be the unable to deliver productivities and efficiency due to the supply and demand of workforce. That being one. Second part of it, obviously, was the weaker ringgit. There was two key factors that resulted in the poor performance in last year.
Although, to be fair to you, you know, you have consistently registered net profits of above 20 million ringgit per year since the year 2009. But what about your cost of sales, though? You know, because obviously Forex has been a key theme in our chat so far. You know, what's your outlook for the ringgit and how is that going to affect your top line moving forward?
Well, one good thing about this, because we have high percentage of export, so the impact of the ringgit would have lesser in a sense. So what typically we will face with the margin compression squeeze on our cost of goods will be essentially if the raw material got higher because of the local sales, then that will obviously affect us. So why is important is this? Actually, to avoid this type of impact to our bottom line in the future is getting more higher percentage of customer willing to do the pass on. So in other words, which most of our multinational, we have negotiated to the point that there's a material adjustment on the regular basis, and they only lock in the conversion cost. So that would be one of the approach that we enjoy as well.
Besides your attempts to diversify geographically, again, you are in Australia, New Zealand, you are looking to expand in Indonesia and Myanmar. We also understand you are trying to diversify through other industries. You are also involved in the property sector. Why property, though?
Yeah, property is more a legacy issue. That was a long, long time ago. I think about 10 years ago, probably near the 10 years ago, we have through various investor briefing, it was loud and clear to me that the investor prefer Dibuchi to be focusing on our key business, which is in flexible packaging. So quite a few years back, we have make an announcement that we will not be further investing into the property. So whatever you see in the property is essentially the tail end of the investment that we have, and we have stick to our commitment. Since then, we have not invested a single dollar into that sector. As to other sectors, we were looking at electronics and the glove industry in terms of providing the packaging. We were not as successful in that sector because our key focus it's still on the food, because there's still opportunity on the food sector. Han, in general, I don't see as a company here in the flexible packaging arena, the top line growth is essentially not an issue. As I mentioned, to be a single customer of ours, a multinational, if they just load you some more, but if you serve them well, they give you more business, that itself will give you a very strong growth. In Malaysia, obviously, we slow our growth down is because of the labor workforce. That will be a key element. So we still go back to my excitement in Myanmar. They're able to capture this opportunity in a bigger way in times to come.
Thank you so much for speaking to us. That was Thomas Lim, Managing Director of Dibuchi Plastic and Packaging Industries. I'm Tan Chung Han for BFM 89.9.
Thank you.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.